All right, praise the Lord. God is good.
Amen.
It's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning.
Amen. Amen.
First service of the new year. First Sunday service of the new year.
Yep.
Praise God. Amen. 2018, here we go.
Amen.
Get out of the way. Here it comes.
Amen. I'm on a motorcycle.
Yeah.
A jet. A rocket.
Yeah, a rocket sled, yeah.
How faster we go than you.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Oh, Lord.
Father, we thank you, Lord, this day for your goodness to us. We thank you for the word of God. We thank you for those gathered here today. Amen. This morning, this great assembly gathered here this morning. Father, we pray that you'll open our eyes that we might behold wondrous things out of your word this morning. Give us the spirit of wisdom and not of fear. And give us revelation, knowledge, and understanding of the word of faith and authority of the believer. That we may be able to operate the ministries that you've given us in Jesus' name.
Yes,
amen.
Praise the Lord.
Who said one
thing?
And Barnes and Noble has it for
11.
Oh, Barnes and Noble.
All right.
Awesome. And their store are online in.
Well, I'll just go to the store that morning. You go to the store. Good excuse
awesome. To go shopping.
Very good.
Thank you.
Oh,
that is Barnes and Noble.
Yeah.
Very good.
All right, we're back in the book of Jude. Man. Chapter 1. Because there is only one chapter. It's hard to get lost in Jude. And I think we were talking about the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation. He hath reserved in everlasting chains unto darkness, unto the judgment of the great day. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah, and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. I like the way this guy writes. Powerful words.
Amen.
Concentrated.
Yeah, absolutely. This is the real constant. This is the concentrated word of God right here. Not watered down. Nothing added. This is just concentrated. This is the raw word right here. But we need to remember, we always talk about Sodom and Gomorrah being destroyed, but there were other cities also that were destroyed.
Yeah.
There were the cities of the plain were destroyed. There were five of them, and I can't remember the names of all of them, but they're in the Bible, they're in the book of Genesis, it describes them. One of them was Zoar, of course, but Zoar wasn't destroyed because Lot said, "Let me go there and dwell there, it's just a little city." And the angel said, "Okay, that'll be all right, go there." And so Lot went there, and so Zoar was not destroyed. There were five cities of the plain, four of them were destroyed. If it hadn't been for Lot going there, it would have been destroyed also. So all of those cities of the plain were destroyed, not just Sodom and Gomorrah. Now, it says here, this is interesting, not that they gave themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh. You know, that's what fornication is, right?
Yeah.
That's really the definition of fornication, is going after strange flesh, forbidden relationships. Mm-hmm. Fornication is a forbidden sexual relationship. That's what it is. It's forbidden. It may not necessarily be adultery, but it is forbidden. And that is exactly what, of course, the angels committed fornication because they went after strange flesh. They went after humans when they were not human. That's strange flesh, okay? So, anything except men and women, that's and in a permissible relationship, husband and wife, is strange flesh. Adultery is fornication. All adultery is fornication. Not all fornication is adultery, but all adultery is fornication because it's strange flesh. It's forbidden. It is a forbidden relationship. Adultery is a forbidden relationship. It is fornication. So when Jesus said, except for the cause of fornication, that includes adultery. That includes adultery. But it's also broader than adultery. It includes more than adultery. It's a broader term than that. When Jesus said you could put away your wife for fornication, that, or your husband, that includes more than just adultery. It's broader than that. All right, so here we have a good definition of fornication. It's going after strange flesh. Likewise, these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignities. Yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke thee. Now, in the book of Jude, we find, and we'll go down here to verse 14, where he does it again. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints, to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. Now here he quotes from the book of Enoch, and in verse 9 he quotes from a book that was in currency in those days called the Assumption of Moses. The book of Enoch is not scriptural. It's apocryphal. And the Assumption of Moses is still around, and it is also apocryphal, of course. The Assumption of Moses, if you read it, it's a really ridiculous book. It's totally ridiculous. But he does quote something in there that's interesting. That's one, probably the only thing in there that's worth quoting at all. It's the only quotable thing in the whole book. And of course, Jude, speaking by the Spirit, knew what to quote and what not to quote. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But he did quote from a book that's, you don't need to be reading. It talks about Moses, where Moses was going to die. God told Moses he was going to die, and Moses starts begging and pleading, I don't want to die. And Moses is trying to figure out every way in the world he can figure out to keep from dying. And in doing this, it's just totally ridiculous. He shows neither heathen courage nor Christian faith. It's an ugly picture of Moses. And so, it's just silly. It's just so silly. The whole thing is so silly. The only thing in there that's worth anything, basically, is this business about the devil who contended with the body of Moses. And the devil claimed, of course, that Moses was a murderer. And that was his claim to Moses' body, because Moses was a murderer according to the devil. So he's the accuser of the brethren. And of course we know that Moses killed, first of all, he killed the Egyptian who was mistreating an Israelite. That's why he had to flee Egypt in the first place, fled for 40 years. And of course then the devil accused Moses of killing the children of Israel in the wilderness when they rebelled against God and against Moses and so on. We know many of them died when they murmured against Moses, so the devil brought that up. So that was the devil's claim to Moses' body. Anyway, the whole lesson, that the reason that Jude quotes that is that it's sort of hard to sort this out. That the devil had at one time been a dignitary. At one time, the devil had had great authority and great favor. At one time, he was an angel that had a great position with God at one time. Yeah. And so, out of respect for his position, Michael did not curse him and did not bring railing accusation against him, even though he had fallen and done terrible things, because of his former position and authority that God had once given him. Michael would not criticize him and just said, the Lord rebuke you. So the point is that we need to respect people in their authority, as in their position. Their positions are important. Pastors are important for their position. The position of a pastor is very important. And the position of prophets and apostles and evangelists and teachers are very important. It's a God-called ministry.
Amen.
And we know that people mess up. And they do. And but we need to respect the position. Whenever we talk about people, we need to respect their position, even when they have messed up.
Yeah.
And we need to be considerate because of what they once had.
Right.
Even though they may have fallen. You know, we know people that have fallen. I really hate for people to criticize Jimmy Swaggart.
Yeah.
He fell. But because of his calling and his position, you know, we need to respect that and not just, you know, berate him because of the position that he held. God isn't through with him. So we need to recognize the positions that these people have. And that's what Jude is telling us here. That we need to be respectful of the great positions that God has for us. And not speak evil of people who are in positions of authority. That's what we're all about here.
That's how David saw Saul.
That's exactly right.
Yes, that's
good. That is exactly right. That is how David treated Saul. Saul had fallen, and everything he was doing was terrible. It was wicked. It was against God. But because of his authority, and because of the position that God had put him in, and he was God's anointed, that anointing hadn't left him. So he was still anointed. And David would not touch God's anointing.
That time too, Brother Monty, I heard that he was the most listened to man in the world at that time.
Yeah.
And you could figure the crosshairs the enemy would have on him.
That's true.
Absolutely.
That's absolutely right.
Oh, yes.
Absolutely right.
That's right.
No question about it. We need to be more, you know, we are more, let's put it this way, God is more patient with us in our strugglings than we are with one another.
Yes, he is.
That's true.
We want to just, you know, just bury a person a lot of times when they fall. And we need to be careful. That is not the way we do things.
Amen.
So Jude is telling us that you need to be careful about speaking against people. So, all right, that's enough. That's enough of that for now. Praise the Lord. God is good.
Bro Hart, that's a teaching.
Oh, yeah.
That some people